Welcome to the Kayak Mainline Podcast. David's no officer, and I'm certainly no gentleman. And folks, you've got nowhere else to go. Ladies and gentlemen, Dominant Hare and friends, Romans and countrymen, lend me your ear and welcome to the fourth edition of Kayak Mainline. I am your host, Kelly Blades, as well as my other host.
Hey, this is David Johnston.
And we are what embodies Kayak Mainline.
That's a pretty dramatic opening.
Wasn't it good?
Yeah.
I've been working on that for seconds.
that's the type of work ethic I expect.
I'm a pro, baby. Yeah. I'm a pro. So, David, it is now our fourth edition. We are up on iTunes.
Yes.
We have a Facebook page.
Yes.
We have a Twitter feed.
What is it?
It is Kayak Mainline.
Excellent.
We have a Gmail account.
We have everything.
We have it all. We got the world by the short and curlies. We have so much
success.
We have so much media, they got to call it multimedia. And you know what else we have today?
What?
Very special. I have a new microphone.
Really? What did you use?
What did I get here? I got a Blue Snowball.
Excellent.
You know why they call it a Blue Snowball?
Why?
Because it's made by Blue.
Okay.
And it's roughly in the shape of a white ball.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds nice.
It is very nice. Do I sound better?
Oh, well, I don't know. You were sounding pretty beautiful before, so. Well,
there you go. Thank you.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to put on radio voice.
So what have you been up to these couple days?
What have I been up to? Not a whole heck of a lot outside of my normal Joe job of selling kayaks. Had a demo up in beautiful Harbor Springs.
Okay.
Michigan, and it was phenomenal. It was the best demo that they have ever had. It was just nice, you know.
Is that best demo ever because you were there?
No, I think it was the best demo ever because I didn't want to punch any other reps.
I don't know how to respond to that.
No, there is no way to respond. No, actually, you know, it's funny. In the Midwest, all of us reps get along pretty well, and the ones that don't really understand that they don't get along with the rest of us.
Okay.
And it's largely due to the fact that we all help each other out. We all help each other unload boats, load boats. We try to work. We know we're going to go up against sales from one another, but we don't have to make it contentious. It's sort of the Midwest way.
It's kind of like wrestling. You know, backstage, all the wrestlers are best friends until they get in that squared circle.
Yes.
And then the steel chair comes out.
And then the pile drivers begin.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was great. It was probably about 85, 90 degrees up there. It was right on Lake Michigan. And here's the funny thing that I've noticed. It had a lot of stand-up boards there. A lot of people. And what I found is that stand-up boards bring the ladies out in their small sort of swimsuits.
Mm.
So the dynamic changes completely.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. It's no longer a bunch of 40 to 50 year old white men with beards.
Okay.
But it's young, vibrant ladies.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now they show up in their stand up boards like a gang and do they try out kayaking or are they just all in stand up?
No, they just kind of want a stand up board, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. It was nice though. It was a real friendly place. So that's what I did this weekend. What about you? What'd you get going?
Not too much. It's been pretty quiet for me. May and June, people, the legions of fans who've listened to our podcast before, I've been teaching a lot of instructor courses, but now that's slowed down a little bit. So I was, this past weekend, I was basically working on a computer the whole weekend. So, but running around with the family, you know, went swimming at the local park and then we, you know, went to a museum, and, you know, pretty quiet.
Well, that's
which
good.
Is perfect for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's going to, July is usually just full bore for both of us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's symposium season starts and I start teaching a lot of beginner lessons and things like that. So,
cool.
Which I'm looking forward to. Mm-hmm.
I am as well. And I'm looking forward to seeing you and all of my Canadian buddies or a lot of my Canadian buddies up at the Great Lakes Sea Kayak Symposium.
Yeah. We're pretty excited about that. And, we're really excited that we've taken over. There's a full day trip that people who are coming.
You sure
can
did.
Go on.
Oh yeah. Yes, you did. I don't know what sort of strings you Canadians pulled, but
I know the organizer.
Yeah, one of them at least.
Yeah,
both of them. Okay.
Well, so people who don't know, so they for people, you know, because you guys want to, you can come and take an all day trip, Where are we leading it? I don't even know where we're going.
You're going from Miner's Castle, which is okay. Just a little bit east and sort of north of Munising, and you're going to head down Pictured Rocks.
Okay. Oh, that sounds beautiful.
It's going to be fun.
The best thing about it is normally there, this year there's going to be four or five instructors from Canada coming down, so we just pooled ourselves all together. We're basically running that trip.
Yes.
And, except for Bonnie Perry, who's an instructor from Chicago. She's our American representative.
Yes, and a minister.
Yeah, that's true. So she's going to help keep the peace.
Well, I've paddled with Bonnie. I don't think that's going to be the case.
She'll probably be the first one to give her.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, yeah. Excellent. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be a fun trip for everybody, I think.
Yeah, that's going to be really good. So it's a bit of the, for me, it's a bit of the calm before the storm of the summer. So.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
We got some news stuff that's coming up.
You do not have news. Tell me you don't have news.
I do.
Awesome. Then let's hear some news. Is it time for the news?
It's time for the Kayak Mainline News. Yes, your source for news all over the world, down the street or just outside your door.
It is time.
All right. What do you got in the news for us, David?
We have, let's see, our first one here is, I'll start with one that's a bit on the crazy weird side. It's a boater shot in buttocks after his wake swamps canoe.
Okay. Boater shot, now, this is a power boater, we're assuming?
Yeah, power boater. So in Lake Manatee State Park, which is just outside Florida. Of Sarasota, Florida.
Nice. My old stomping grounds.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. A canoeist was canoeing around at the state park. A power boater came by with a rather large wave. Mm-hmm. The canoe tips over. As he's tipping over, the guy reaches for a shotgun and shoots the boater, in which case he is then, as the headline said, shot in the buttocks. So, yeah.
Wow.
In which case, the best part about the article, and this came from kayakanglermagazine.com. They got it from somewhere, but that's where I first saw it. It says EMS officials were already at the landing for an unrelated incident, so they treated Mays, which is the guy who got shot, before taking him to the Manatee Memorial Hospital. Authorities intend to test the bullet to provide evidence in this case. In this case, three suspects were listed on the report as possible shooters. Bum, 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 bum.
Da-da-da. Yep. So, okay. Here we go with my line of questioning.
Okay.
So, you're canoeing along, minding your own business. Mr. Power Boater comes by.
Yep.
Probably, maybe inebriated. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And does that jerk move where he's, you know, knocking you, you know, trying to get real close to you, sort of that Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack sort of move.
What a classic.
To Judge Smales.
Yeah.
Right. And so he knocks this canoeist over.
Yeah.
Now, what we're assuming is that, or what the authorities are assuming, that this freaking ninja special forces canoeing guy, as he starts to get knocked over, his reaction is not to brace, but to grab a firearm and pop a cap in this dude's butt from a distance while he's tipping over and while the guy's flying away on his boat.
If you ask me, I think this guy was a pretty good shot.
Yeah, he would have to be.
I'm pretty sure I would not be able to think about getting this gun before it sank.
This is like Lee Harvey Oswald shooting.
Yeah, exactly, eh?
Yeah. I suspect there was another canoeist in the grassy knoll on this.
Well, that's why it does say the three suspects were listed in the report as possible shooters.
Right.
Yeah, I believe they're going to make a movie out of this.
I just want to believe that, like, the guy came by, power boater guy came by at one point. He's like, hey, screw you, pal, you know, doing that thing. And this dude in the canoe sent his buddy or radioed ahead and said, all right, this guy's coming again. Take him out. And just as he's getting knocked over, he's like, green light, green light, green light. You know, he gets knocked over, and then the shot from the sniper comes from a distance, hits the guy in the butt.
There's definitely more than meets the eye with this.
Like a transformer. I think you're right. Yeah. Well, David, I hope we stay on this, you know, on this case all the way through, because this is compelling. There's a lot going on this.
Yeah, well, you know, the best part about it is they did bring in a police dog, searched the area for a weapon, but did not find one. So I think they need to bring in some type of trained seal or something like that to go down and find it, because clearly it's at the bottom of the lake, Lake Manatee.
A dolphin with sonar. I hear the military trains them to carry bombs and sonar on their head.
So remember a couple weeks ago that somebody figured out how to put lasers on sharks.
Yes. Yeah,
so, yeah.
How could you forget that?
I know.
How could our listeners forget that at all? That's fantastic.
Yeah. So, great day.
Yeah, I mean, let's just stay on this. I think we have to stay on this.
We'll put our best people on it.
We will, which is sadly you, which is a far better cry than me.
Yeah. We got to figure out some type of budget to get me down there so I can do an on-site report.
Okay.
You know, one of those, like, live – I'm here in front of the supermarket where there was a shooting earlier this morning. So one of those types of things.
This is like a Ray Stevens song is what this is. Like The Streak. Do you remember The Streak from the
70s? Yes.
Oh, yes, they call him The Streak. Yep. We have a man on the scene. Did you see anything? Yeah, I did. So, all right. So for our listeners out there, to help us with this, if you could – gather up bottles and cans and return them and send that money to David so we can put a man on the scene for the strange and unique buttock shooting from the canoeist.
Yep. Yeah, we can't do this by phone. This has to be done in person.
Exactly. Yeah. He's got to have an Instamatic and
with one of those fedora hats with a, I'm here for the press.
That's right. It's got to say press on the side.
Yeah.
It'd be very important.
All right, let's move on.
Let's do that.
Today's episode is brought to you by P&H Kayaks, Warner Paddles, and Kokatat. Yes, these fine products are available in any proper kayak store or online, and you can certainly find them, use them. They'll make you feel happy, healthy, and you'll look and feel like $1 million. Folks, don't wait. You only have so much time to be on the water. You might as well use the good stuff. And these folks provide the good stuff.
If you like to gamble with the things that you love, you better hope to the stars above that you'll be lucky, lucky in love.
Here's the next one that I found. Stranded kayaker injured by landslide during rescue.
Well, ain't that about a kick in the groin, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So in Sandy, Oregon, a 26-year-old man was stranded overnight on the Sandy River after his kayak overturned. He was injured by a landslide after a rescue helicopter tried to reach him. Yeah.
So he's paddling along.
Yep.
All right. And he needs a rescue. What happened to his boat? Why do you need a rescue?
So apparently he was in whitewater, and what they're saying was pretty rough water in class 4 whitewater. Anyways, so he came out of this boat and he got stuck against a strainer. No, he got stuck against several large boulders and the boat got stuck and he got out and was able to get to shore. But he couldn't get out because there was pure vertical cliffs on the side of the river that he was on. So somehow somebody saw him and they called in for help.
Okay.
The Pacific Northwest search and rescue people went to go get him. So as the helicopter is hovering overhead, it triggered a landslide, which basically boulders came down and injured the guy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that made things worse then, didn't it?
Definitely not better. No. If it's not the river that's going to kill you, it's definitely the landslide after the fact.
So this guy's kayak and he swims out of his boat. So he's got to admit that, you know, he didn't have the chops or something happened. So here he is kind of feeling humiliated that he swam out of the boat and he's standing there. Some dudes come by, they start laughing at him and they say, okay, well, we'll call the authorities. So you're humiliated that you swam.
Yeah.
And then you're humiliated by some dudes walking by. You're humiliated now that they have to call the authorities. What do the authorities do? Cause a landslide on you.
They never teach about that in the Swiftwater Rescue courses.
I've taught hundreds of rescue scenario classes in my day.
Yeah.
Never once have I had to talk about a landslide, but I can add that now to my repertoire.
Amazing.
Yeah, it'd be great. So yeah, I mean, that's going to be fun to try to set that up. And I low be the first student who says, really, are we going to be caught in a landslide? I'm going to whip this story out at him and be like, yeah, it happens. Wait till I call the authorities and they drop a rock on your head.
So you know what you could do is just hire some local kids from the local small town next door and just get them standing at the top of a hill and just pitching rocks down at your students. Now what are you going to do? You know, start yelling that.
That might be a little excessive.
Well, it's called immersion teaching. That's what we'll call this.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Why not? Yeah. Let's do that. All right. So we have avalanches on kayakers.
Yeah, and we have canoeists who are shooting people. So you got to keep an eye out for that.
Sure.
Yeah.
What else we got?
So then the really big one that I thought was really the most fascinating story is there's a guy who who's paddling across. He's about to leave in the next right at the very end of June. So really actually in the next a couple of days. Right now it's the end of June for us that we're recording this. Yeah. But so he will be already crossing. He's going to be his goal is to paddle in a kayak across from California to Hawaii across the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
So, yeah. So it's 3,000 miles. And almost the best part about the guy is his name. His name is Wave Vidmar.
Sure. Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
Wave Vidmar. It's never like Howard Smith.
Yeah. I think his destiny was set in stone when his mother said, I will name him Wave.
And so it began that he will now cross a great body of water. For his name is Wave, and he is one with the ocean. What nationality is this cat?
I don't know.
I don't know many Americans aside from hippies who would name their child Wave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Must be hippie.
Or maybe it's a nickname.
No, I like to feel that he's had it since he's in grade one.
Okay.
Or earlier.
Or earlier.
As most kids are named earlier than that. So what's interesting about this, what caught my eye about it, is the fact that he's making this crossing 3,000 miles, and he's basically taking an off-the-shelf kayak to do this. Because usually when people are making these major crossings like that, it's in, you know, a huge boat that's as wide as it is long.
Right. Peter Bray years ago crossed the North Atlantic. From Holyhead, Wales, over to Nova Scotia.
Okay.
And yeah, he paddled that whole distance. But yeah, again, he had a custom made kayak and custom made paddle, and he could sleep in the boat.
Really?
Yeah, it was self righting, I believe. And it was still a hell of a time. But you're saying that this guy is just grabbing a boat off the shelf and just. Well, the guy's name is Wave. What else would you do?
Of course, you know, he's in touch. So Seaward is the major sponsor, and they've set him up with a Seaward Passat G3. So it's a double kayak. So he's definitely got it's not just a single kayak. So he's got a ton of room, and they have made some modifications to it, but they haven't modified it. Like, it still looks like a regular boat. So some of the cool things they've done to it. So they've removed the bulkheads at the front end, at the bow, so that he can lie down inside the boat. That's where he's going to sleep in it. And a couple other things. So it's a Kevlar boat, but they've tripled, like, it's twice as thick as it typically is, mainly with the idea that if he gets bumped by debris or sharks, it won't fall apart.
Good.
Yeah.
I like that plan.
Yeah, and he's got what they're calling the cook hole. So just ahead of the rear cockpit, they've put a little chimney in there so he can cook under the deck
Isn't a cook hole a husband who is being cheated on by his wife? Oh, that's a cockold. Okay, I'm sorry.
This is such a fine difference between them.
It really is.
Yeah.
You say prostitute, I say my neighbor. You know, something
right.
like that.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So he's got a cook hole.
Yeah, and what else we got here? They've painted the boat with a special shark repelling pattern on it. So with this idea that rather than just a solid hull of a particular color, they've put stripes, like horizontal stripes on it.
Okay.
And which is supposed to kind of mimic a lionfish. So sharks won't go after lionfish. So they've done – I guess there's some – there's some pieces about that, the research around it. So they're going to try this out. So hopefully it'll cut down on great whites as, shark attack.
So here's what I found out. Lionfish is actually one of the top five most dangerous fish in the ocean.
Really?
Yeah, because I believe it's because it's poison. I don't think it's that ferocious. I think it's just poison. That's probably why that's a good idea, though. I'm going to remember that because I always thought, you should probably go camouflage or something like that. No. Go the opposite way with the sharks, like find out something that they're really scared of and be that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the
you know what? Dress up like a Japanese whale fishing boat. That's what I think. That's what I'm going to do the next time I go in the ocean. I'm going to look like a whale fishing boat.
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah, that would really I'd keep everybody away when you're in.
Yeah, except for Greenpeace. They'd come after me.
Right.
But yeah. But screw those hippies.
Yeah.
That's what I don't really hate hippies as far as I'll record. Yeah, that's cool, though. This guy is doing – man, that's a big trip.
Yeah, it's pretty cool because he is the trip they're expecting anywhere from 45 to 60 days long, depending on weather and how much headway he makes in the whole thing. Yeah, so they expect the trip to take anywhere from 45 to 65 days. And it's his route that he's planning on taking, Wave, is taking is 3,100 miles long.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't want to paddle that much, but good for him.
Yeah. The first time. It's interesting. It's the first time anybody has attempted it, or actually it's been done once before. I'll put it that way. In 1987 was the last time somebody has successfully paddled across, or at least as far as the research they were able to come up with.
Who is that?
Wave and Seaward were putting some research into the back end of who's done it before.
Oh, okay. So they don't know who's done it before.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, somebody could easily have done it and not told anybody. But
well, you were saying that it happened in the last time it happened in 1987, right?
Yeah. 87 was the last time anybody is known to have kayaked across and completed it.
And who was that guy?
Oh, I don't know.
Then how do they know it happened in 87?
I don't know. I found it on the internet. It's got to be true.
Oh, all right then. Stupid Google. All right. Now, we love the Google overlords. Don't boycott us, Google. Yeah. So, great news. Thank you very much. That's fascinating. We've got one story we need to follow up on, of course, the Buttock shooting.
Yes.
And, of course, we're going to hear about this Wave feller for at least 45 to 65 days.
Yep.
That'd be cool.
Certainly by the time you're listening to this now, he will be he'll be on his way. And so if people are if they want to check it out, the website to check, go to Seaward Kayaks is probably the best place to start.
Right on.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, and on to email questions. Questions from the interweb. A couple of days ago I threw out a little query. Excuse me. Threw out a little query to my Facebook peeps and got a bunch of different emails and comments on Facebook asking us some questions. And so we'd like to read a couple more. We did some in the last episode, and I think that went really well.
Yeah.
And I'm going to save the one that we left you a cliffhanger the last time. And we're going to follow up on that one towards the end because that actually rolls into our interview with Mr. Eric Ogard. I know you're all excited. Everybody's just a Twitter.
I'm excited.
Of course. So we do have, like I said before, if you have questions, please email them to kayakmainline@gmail.com. Hit us up at Twitter @kayakmainline, or hit David and I up solo, for that matter, and ask us some questions. You can also get to us via Facebook at
facebook.com/kayakmainline.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can reach me if you needed to get a hold of me and had a specific question or looking for some gossip about Kelly.
Yes.
paddlinginstructor.com or on Twitter, Kayak Instructor.
That's right. And if you want to get some dirt on David, my lips are sealed.
You
cannot get anything out of me. However, we do have some great questions here, some great, some a little facetious, but we're gonna go through this anyway. Tori. Our friend Tori asks us, simply boxers or brief? David?
Well, I mean, I could pull the classic joke and just go, oh, commando. But,
nice.
I'll go briefs, and smaller the better.
Very good. I'm a boxers guy. I like everything to just kind of do its own thing.
All right.
You know, so that's good. You know, vive la difference.
Yeah.
Our buddy Scott says, how do you not die? I ask for questions, not necessarily kayaking questions. He asks,
okay.
How do you not die?
I keep breathing.
There you go. That's good. I would say, Scott, if you're listening to this, and I assume that everybody is, I would say whatever you're doing to stay alive right now, do that more.
Mm.
That's about it.
That's good advice.
Mm-hmm. Dinah Dinah's got a litany of questions here, and I think it's great. Here's a really good one. We're finally into the hard-hitting kayaking questions now. When learning to roll, how do you transition into a roll with no setup so that when you are unexpectedly blown over, knocked over, you can roll back up? David.
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I do.
Yeah.
I get students to roll, you know, with a perfect setup for it. And once they've got that and they're looking for a little bit more challenge, is this whole thing. It's kind of like, well, if you get bowled over, of course you're not in that perfect setup position that we all practice in the pool over the weekends. So a couple things you could do is paddle five or six strokes and get the boat up to speed and then just fall over. And then the boat will still kind of paddle, you know, not, it'll still go with the momentum through the water a little bit and then try rolling up. That's a good kind of way to simulate being on a wave and getting bowled over.
Sure.
So that's usually what I end up doing, starting with people. And then you can either roll up or, you know, come out of your boat and get back in and try it again. Mm-hmm. So that's for me is usually the next step for that. How about yourself?
Well, I got two things that I've used. And the idea is that we want to get people out of the frame of mind that they have to be set up. So they've worked so hard to get their role with that perfect setup. And it's confusing. It tricks the mind when you throw that added element of being knocked over. It's not the perfect setup. It's not what we have trained for. So what I like to do is take that basis and progress it into exactly what she's asking. Progress that into taking that element, that setup element, out of the effective role. So what I'll do is A, either have them set them up or have the students set up on their offside,
okay,
and then transition to make that roll onto their onside roll.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I think so. And what I can also do at that point too is to suggest that they just throw caution to the wind and they try an offside roll. And if they don't make it, then transition over to the onside roll and, you know, and see what happens there. What that does is it affects two different things. First of all, they're trying their offside roll and they're trying to wrap their mind around it. But they're also then unconsciously switching to their onside to roll up. So I'm not forcing them to think outside the box. They're just kind of doing it with the next step in that progression.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's good. For me, that transition from, say, offside to onside, you know, you try it and you're offside and it fails, so you've got to kind of swim back around and get your body on the other side of the boat.
Sure.
That, I think that is what messes up a lot of people. And so if you can kind of get that transition as you kind of come underneath and rearrange the paddle again and be able to come up on your good side, that's a good skill to have. Because when you're really panicking or you get bowled over the wrong way on a real wave,
right,
you know you can get around to the side.
Well, another trick too, and this is just pure fun, but it kind of gets people thinking outside the box, is you take your paddle,
yeah,
and you set it up so that your paddle is on your onside setup.
Okay.
That's right. Yes. And then you let go of your paddle, let it sit next to your boat. Roll over, away from your paddle.
Okay.
And then when you're over, reach up, grab your paddle, do your setup and roll.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So
yeah, you've got to have a lot of faith.
Yeah. Well, my left side is my dominant side when I roll. So I'll set the paddle down where it's supposed to be on the left side. I'll go to my right, roll over, reach up, grab my left, grab the paddle, which is now in the setup position for a left-handed roll, and then I'll set up and roll.
Do you roll with your eyes open or closed underwater?
I do. I do everything.
Okay.
I do it all, baby. As a rule, I keep my eyes open, but I've always kept my eyes open under the water.
Okay. Now my eyes are closed for everything.
Really?
Well, I don't know why. Anyways, it's just how it's been for. So I was going to say, for people who keep their eyes open all the time, they could try closing their eyes or even like with this blindfold or something like that. That's a
That throws you out of your comfort zone. Anything that excuse me, anything that throws you out of that initial comfort zone that makes you think in a different way is going to be great.
Right.
That. And then the follow up question, the next question on this is how do you learn to roll on your offside? And I'll take that one first, and I will say usually how I like to transition, just like I said before, is I'll have people get good on their onside, and then I'll ask them to try it on their offside. And there's a litany of problems that arise, but ultimately they have the idea of how to roll a kayak. So it's just a matter of orienting themselves onto the other side. And as I ask them to go over on that other side, if they fail, have them try once, twice, three times, whatever they feel comfortable with. And if it doesn't work, set up on their onside, come back up, reestablish. I can give some coaching and some feedback, and then we can move along from there. So that's usually what I do for the offside.
Right, right. And I think that so much of rolling is timing. And so, you know, if you get the timing on your good side, the other side kind of comes along naturally. It just takes a little bit more work because it's, well, completely backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't make sense, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah, you just got to keep doing it and doing it and doing it. That's what I've kind of figured out for, especially for offside. And if you, what I usually tell people is when you first start practicing, like people will naturally want to do a couple of rules on their good side. And then you get worn out. Start with your bad side. Work on that before you get worn out.
Sure.
Yeah.
There you go. So another question. She's just taking up all the time. You know what? I'm going to hold off on this question. I'm going to move down to another question here from somebody else, and we'll come back in a prior episode. Prior? Is that right? Proceeding? Some kind of episode. We'll come back to it. This is one that we talked about earlier that is really important for you, David. How do you keep spiders out of your boat?
Oh, they're the worst type of monster out there.
They really are.
If there's spiders in your boat, this is my sign. Stay home.
Just forget it.
Yeah, oh yeah, just give up. Like, get some friends to tie it on your roof of your car and just go home.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. Or maybe even quit paddling.
Just give up and move on to, like,
walk away.
You know, chess or badminton.
Badminton?
Yeah.
Did you say badminton?
Should I not?
Isn't it badminton?
Well, you know, potato, potato.
No, it's really badminton.
All right.
I don't know.
I'll blame it on a Canadian accent.
Badminton.
Okay. Either way, spiders. How about yourself? How do you keep them out?
You know, I don't care about spiders. I actually, truth be told, this little secret for everybody, I'm hoping I get a spider, a radioactive spider in my kayak one day and I get bitten and I get superpowers.
Just for like the hour that you're out in the boat?
I don't care however long it takes, man. If I can jump around like Spider-Man for a while, whatever. You know, 5 minutes, rest of my life, who cares?
Yeah, it's kind of one of the reasons why I wear a dry suit.
Oh, to keep the spiders away?
Yeah.
No, I don't have a problem with the spiders.
Okay.
It's not really a big issue for me. I mean, I guess if it was like a tarantula.
Yeah, I would probably have a heart attack.
Now, here's the thing. If you're a Texas paddler, my friend Mark White lives, at least for the next few minutes, because he's moving to California. He lives in Texas. He's a coach down there. And apparently, frequently, they get scorpions in their paddling gear. So you'll set your paddling gear out to dry. Scorpions will climb right in there.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't believe it. I had no belief in that. I'm like, you're pulling my lariat, cowboy.
Why would anybody want to live in Texas based on that idea?
Well, you know, so I'm down there teaching the first time, and we pull up to his house, and we hang everything up. He's like, you know, be careful. Check your boots. Check your stuff before tomorrow, because you might get a scorpion in there. I'm like, you're full of malarkey. No, there was a scorpion in there.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's terrible.
All right, let's move on. I got it. Yeah, this will set my therapy back by at least 3 weeks.
All right. Folks, if you have something you'd like to tell us, please let us know by emailing us at kayakmainline@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter and let us know through there at kayakmainline. That's kayakmainline@gmail.com and Twitter feed kayakmainline. And if you enjoy what you hear, please leave us a favorable review on iTunes. And if you don't like what you hear, please write it down on a piece of paper, fold it up nice and tight, put it in an envelope, and then seal it and just, you know, kind of sit on it for a few years and really think about it. And today for our special question, we have Mr. Eric Ogar. Mr. Eric Ogar, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. David, are you
there?
Hey, there he is.
Yes. Good. Eric, I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad you're here.
I just want to know that you guys are wearing pants.
Yeah, let's say
I can't. There's a reason why this is audio.
Yes. So, okay. Hey, so we brought you on the show here today. Not only are you a friend of ours and a fellow paddler and just a heck of a nice guy, but we also had a really good question that one of our listeners, or actually pre-listeners, asked us. We kind of touched on it on the last podcast, and we wanted to follow up with you. But very first, Eric Ogar, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been instructing now for close to 15 years down in Toronto, right at the waterfront, at the Hub Front Canoe Kayak Center. And I've had the pleasure of teaching with you and David in various areas, including Lake Superior and Georgian Bay, among some places.
Good times and good memories.
And we're about to do it again, which is very exciting.
That is going to be fun.
Eric, you've been teaching for 15 years, and you're a strapping lad. And one of the things you like to teach, or like to instruct, is fitness, correct?
Yes.
Both prior to,
yes,
and immediately prior to, and then also out in the soup itself. So one of our listeners, let me find the question here. One of our listeners, Tom, asked, can you recommend an exercise fitness routine for kayakers, including everything from warm-up stretching, aerobic, and weight workouts? And that's a pretty broad topic. So that's why we brought you
in, because
I'm kind of chubby and David's weak for a man.
That's definitely true on both of our parts.
Yes. So you are a strapping lad. Yes, he is. He's eating his Wheaties and he's working out.
Yeah, I'm still growing.
He is. He's so sweet at this age. But Eric, you are, in point of fact, an Adonis. And so maybe you could help us out with this question. So take it away, sir.
All right. Well, to begin with, ideally, anytime you're going out on the water, you do want to do some type of warm-up that addresses all the joints and muscles that we typically use during paddling, whether it's canoeing or kayaking or even stand-up paddleboarding. So in particular, we're going to be sitting in a kayak for a long time, so it's still helpful, though, to warm up the ankles, knees, and hips, and kind of work your way up to your shoulders, elbows, and wrists with some, 10, 15 minutes or so of just moving around with no weights at all and just getting, each of those areas lightly warmed up before you hit the water, so you're not getting in there cold and just going for a paddle. With that said, there are pros and cons for trying to make kayaking into a fitness routine, per se. The more you paddle, obviously, the better you're going to get, but you have to learn how to kayak first before you can turn it into a fitness type of routine. Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense. And a lot of people, I think, buy a kayak because they think it's a really good way to work out the arms.
It can be. You can make it into that, for sure.
But I like the suggestion that really you should probably learn how to kayak so that you can use it as a fitness model rather than using it. Well, you're not necessarily it's a bad thing, but it's certainly different.
If you think back when you tried to learn how to bicycle, right? I know that didn't turn out well.
Right.
but you couldn't really make it into a fitness routine because you didn't have your balance.
Right.
And people would run in front of you, they would put hockey sticks in your wheel, and it just didn't work.
I love the fact that I love the fact that I'm talking to Canadians where the first thing out of their mouth is putting a hockey stick in your wheel.
Yeah.
Well, that so happened to me when I was in grade 4. I vividly remember that.
Really?
Stupid bully down the street.
To stay on topic.
Sorry.
So, once you do have proficiency on the boat, then you can turn up the dial and turn it into very much of an aerobic type of fitness regime. Depending on the miles you want to do, you can introduce intervals into your paddling session, for that matter. Or you can work on just a very good cadence for a long distance. We have a few folks that are interested this year in making a Lake Ontario crossing, and I'm going through the process right now of setting them up on a program that will progressively take them through some routines over the next 6 to 8 weeks so they can get conditioned to really manage an 8 to 10 hour crossing that may involve wind and waves and stuff like that.
So what type of thing would you be doing for those guys?
Well, besides the proficiency of, you know, the technical paddling skills, we'd work on for the physical skills, so actually being able to spend that amount of time in the boat by constantly moving. And from there, it's a lot of mental skills as well. So, which I know is another gray area for you.
Right.
but the aspect of long-distance paddling in that context is, you know, how to pass a number of hours just in the boat. So,
right. So, so going back to the question at hand.
Yes.
So warm-ups, you're saying about 15 minutes of warm-ups just to get the joints, the muscles loose. So we don't – and I'm presuming
that – And I would include in that a little bit more attention to the shoulders and arms.
Okay.
And your core. Because the movements we're doing in kayaking in particular are either pulling movements and a little bit of pushing, also mainly from the core as a twisting motion or a movement pattern like that.
Okay. Mm.
So anything to sort of wake up the spine and get the shoulders happening, get the elbows going and wrists, which are typically vulnerable areas for kayakers if they just go into something cold.
Okay.
So that definitely for the warm-up, addressing the shoulders, elbows, wrists, and your back. And once you're on the water, I would go for a light paddle first, and just to continue that sort of warm-up, and then you start to dial up and move into whatever program you may be happening to work on, whether you're working for power or for endurance will dictate kind of what you do over that next second, so to speak.
Okay. So prior to getting in there, prior to getting in the boat or maybe on your off days, you know, the question was asked, what sort of weight training, things like that, can you do? And I'm presuming that, you know, there are two different kinds of weight training. There's mass building and then there's anaerobic. Is that right? Anaerobic? Reps over,
yes,
over
right.
Big. So what do you recommend for that?
So, can you repeat that?
No. I don't even know what okay. I said. No.
okay.
So
you're talking about the 20-minute workout aerobics,
well,
or something?
Well, I'm talking – so you go into the gym because you want to look ripped for the ladies, right? And you want to go in there and you work out, but you want to make it appropriate to kayaking. And with kayaking,
right.
We're not necessarily looking for body mass. We are looking for strength and endurance out of our workout.
Yes.
So what kind of things can we do that way in the gym?
So you're on land or in the gym training.
Yes.
Definitely any movements that are going to balance the fitness between pushing and pulling movements is helpful. Most of the time in the kayak, we're pulling and twisting
okay.
at the same time.
You're telling
so
me.
So movements like your bench press are very good complements. To work into a program to help balance the upper body. But what we don't typically work on for kayaking are our legs. So anything yeah. else to add to that make a whole program, and kayaking becomes a part of that regime, so to speak, is helpful. So your legs, if you're doing your squats, your lunges, and your you know, bending movements like deadlifts, are always complementary because they just build a better body that is balanced.
Okay.
For kayaking. Yep.
Got it.
So if you're working on anything else in the gym, I would highly recommend a type of yoga program that promotes stretching and twisting and being at least body aware of when you are paddling.
And not really just under the whole injury prevention side of things
as
much, eh?
Very much, yeah.
Cool.
Good point.
All right, so we're looking at, in the gym, we're looking at reps over bulk, and to focus yes. in on, and I think this is probably key for a lot of people. Don't just worry about the lats. Don't just worry about the biceps, the triceps, and the abs. You got to work those legs as well, because a lot of people don't realize that you use a ton of legs in your kayaking.
Yes, you can.
And you're suggesting to promote the overall. We're not trying to look like Arnie with a huge upper body because we're kayakers. We want to make that body balanced all the way around.
Yes. Yeah.
Cool.
And any other programs you're on, you can apply, like aerobic things like cycling or running. You can have the same approach to your kayaking if you're building up your endurance. Mm-hmm. So you know from running that when you first started running, you didn't take off and do, 20 miles right away.
Well, I tried.
You built up to it.
I tried. Yes. And then 3 days later, the authorities found me in a bush.
Yes.
20 feet from where I started.
Well, what was I was confused about was you wore flippers. I didn't
yes.
understand that.
It was the total body workout. I thought it was going to work, you know?
Oh, right. Yes.
Didn't work out. So I know
but
we don't
you can all of any aerobic training is each easily transferred over to kayaking in terms of the same strategy of building up endurance or your power. And you brought up another point before is what kind of paddling do you enjoy doing? Is it in the surf? Is it in current? Is it, doing long distance days? And you can tailor your on land training to the same kind of tune.
Okay.
Right.
When you'd suggested, or you'd mentioned, I shouldn't say suggested, you mentioned that you were training some people for an Ontario crossing. And I'm wondering, this begs the question, you brought up running as well. Do you recommend intervals for trying to get towards those longer distances? Do we want to approach our long distance kayaking like we approach long distance running?
I believe it's a good strategy, yes.
Okay.
So you can have a mix in there. So one thing I'll have these folks do or consider to do anyways is at least as a minimum 2 paddling sessions during the week, which are 2 to 3 hours in length, and then on the weekend a longer paddle that will involve intervals as well, but more the focus being on covering miles and distance, and then working back into the skill sets, like after that long paddle, what does it feel like to do a rescue, for example?
Hmm.
Which brings back the skill sets, the technical training.
So almost like a circuit training.
Yes. Yep. Hmm.
Interesting.
Cool. All right. Well, I think that covers...
Well, I don't know if these people are going to go for it, but...
Well, they got no choice.
What I should really be getting is a stopwatch, mm-hmm. a clipboard, and a very loud whistle and a bullhorn.
I think you should dress up like Burgess Meredith one day and just go rock. Rock your greasy fast lightning rock. You gotta shit fire and eat palm tree. I don't know what he said. I haven't seen Rocky in years, but something like that. Excellent.
You gotta swallow lightning and crap thunder.
There we go. Good. I'm glad you're you greasy fast. Rock your bum.
Bum.
That's awesome. All right, we're just gonna rip on Rocky.
You know what else, though? This question for Tom can be elaborated on. Feel free to send him my email address.
Dare you to give it out right now?
Well, it is Eric, Erik, at paddletoronto.com.
Excellent.
And I could answer the question more specifically tailored to his needs. And
perfect.
What he has in mind, because yeah. you never know. Maybe he has an R5, and
yeah.
that's all the training he needs.
There you go. So that actually brings us to another real quick something before we leave you here. You are actually one of the bigger wigs, and I mean physically larger people in Paddle Canada, correct?
I've heard rumors of that.
So, folks want to, if folks feel like they need you to come out and train them, by all means, can they use that email address to get a hold of you?
Yes.
Good. Because you are for hire.
Definitely, definitely this line of thinking when we talk about the higher levels of training for kayaking or canoeing or stand-up paddleboard, you need that physical component there because of the environments that we choose to paddle in.
Sure.
It just makes it a lot more fun and enjoyable and, quite frankly, more safe when you are physically fit out in those waters that we choose to paddle.
Okay. And this is one final question I have. David, do you have any more questions before I answer? End with a final question?
No. I think okay.
What would you...
Wait, is he doing a question with me?
What's that?
When he did...
Let's put David on the spot.
It's not
maybe in September.
Okay, I'll do it.
So,
even if you put that engine up back on your kayak...
Yeah. Oh, dude, I always say I have a six-pack. I just keep it in a cooler. I am ready for this. What?
Open face engine for everyone.
Yeah, I will. I'm a workhorse, man. I may not be fast, but I got low-end torque to beat the band. So when is this crossing?
The group is planning to do it in September, probably early September. They're quite keen. So my job, really, ideally, between you and I, and the people listening, is to actually train them to a point where they don't technically need me.
Right.
So that if I build up their confidence and they, you know, I'm a bit of a sidekick, then I know they'd be ready. So
awesome. And how many miles is this going to be?
It's 40. The typical swim route that people, which we would end up doing, if you're going to swim across Ontario, it's 42 kilometers. Okay. So I don't know, whatever that is.
It's not a huge cross where we're actually doing it. So it's from Port Dalhousie to Toronto or from Toronto to Port Dalhousie. Was it 52 kilometers?
Oh, let's keep going up. It's minimum
99. It's minimum 2,000 kilometers.
At least
5,000 kilometers?
5,000.
Yeah, something like that.
You actually have to journey to the center of the earth and back. Which is
all uphill going backwards.
Which is hard because you got to surf.
Yeah, I've done a lot of research on the training for training. That's what I think about when I do routines for personal training and stuff like that. It's there's a lot to be learned about it.
I'll bet. And give that email address out again. ERICK at?
Incorrect.
See how I did that?
ERIK.
Oh, did I say C? ERIK at?
At paddletoronto.com.
Paddletoronto.com.
Yeah, you can see it on the little screen there.
All right, then. Well, hopefully we'll add that in the show notes because David's good at that. So here's the final question, Eric, before we let you go. Would you rather wrestle Danny Mongo of Warner Paddles or an 8-foot alligator? Go.
The 8-foot alligator would have a little bit smoother skin than Danny, right. So I'd say the alligator.
Okay, good. I think that wraps it up for me. What about you, David? Perfect. Well, I think
the alligator would probably play fairer.
That's true. I've known Danny when he gets a little crabby. So I'm glad we could bring him up in a follow-up.
You know, get some hand cream for the guy.
It's true.
But, you know, anyway.
Anyhow, so Eric Ogar, thank you so much for joining us and help fielding this question. And we hope to
thank
have you on again.
Yes, and by all means, and please ask Tom to get a hold of me if he wants more specific answers for him.
I will certainly do that. And, you know, the other day I was out in my kayak, Eric.
Go on.
And I was sinking.
Go on. What were you thinking about?
Thank you. What were you thinking about? Wow, did you take a long time to pick that one up. All right, Eric Ogar, thank you so much for joining us on Kayak Mainline.
My phone is a delay.
That's true, yes. ERIK at
paddletoronto.com.
And Eric Ogar is out. See?
Yeah. So.
There you go. Cool. Well, that's what we have for questions. We'll have more in the next podcast. So, David, any last words before we wind this bad boy down for the day?
No, I think I'm pretty excited that we have I'm going on a road trip to Florida. My family's going to love that.
Oh, when are you going?
Oh, well, this podcast is sent me down. Investigative journalism.
Oh, right, right. You're still laboring under that. Yeah, so please, if you'd like to return bottles and cans, by all means, send that donation right over to David Johnson, sending him to Florida to investigate a butt shooting.
Yeah.
I think that's the way we ought to do this. Yeah. So, yeah, and if you get enough money, you can get a Greyhound and take the entire family.
Yeah, they'll love it. We can all get one seat.
Oh. Do you come from a small family and physically small people in your family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. In my head, I'm like 7 feet tall, but other people have told me otherwise.
Well, they don't know.
Yeah.
They haven't seen the power.
Yeah. Cool. Have you heard of the UFO that's up in the Baltic Sea right now?
I don't know about the UFO in the Baltic Sea. Should I?
You'll want to research this. There's a rock. Well, some people think it's a conspiracy cover-up. Hmm. It looks like the Millennium Falcon.
It's up in the middle. I have heard about this, yes.
Yeah, so they announced it like a year ago, and now gone to do some dive. Apparently, it depends on how trashy of a magazine you read.
Right.
The trashier it is, the more of a UFO it is. Because apparently it cuts off all electrical equipment when the divers get within 200 meters. They can't photograph it.
Yeah, that's convenient, isn't it? You find a ship, or you find a rock that looks like the Millennium Falcon. And yes, I did actually hear about this. This is a reoccurring story. This is one of those internet reoccurring stories that happened. probably happened after Close Encounters came out. It probably happened when Star Wars came out. Now that SpaceX has gone up officially, it's resurfacing.
Well, what's happened is people are forgetting. Their minds are getting wiped out every time they get near it. It keeps getting rediscovered.
So, for you kids wanting to believe that there's a conspiracy theory out there, shut up. let's face it. If somebody says, I would love to show you a picture of a spaceship in the Baltic, but my camera dies.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I grew up with this kid. A friend of mine grew up next door to this kid who he claimed that he had a box full of four-leaf clovers, but his dad wouldn't let him show anybody.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's nice. What we're talking about here. So.
Well, Google it. You'll find it on the internet, so it's got to be true.
Of course. It's on the web. So there you go. All right, folks, I think that does it for this episode of Kayak Mainline with my new mic, with our interview with Eric. So, David, it's always a pleasure, and thank you for joining me again.
Thank you. That was fantastic. I had a great time.
Yeah, I did too. So, ladies and gentlemen, please remember to tip your waitresses and speak German whenever possible. I am Kelly Blades.
David Johnston.
And we are Kayak Mainline, and good night.
You've been listening to the Kayak Mainline podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard today, please tell a friend, or tell five. This shouldn't be a secret just for us. That thing you did with the German Shepherd, the surgical tubing, and the bananas Foster, that's probably a secret you want to keep to yourself. But the podcast, let's tell everyone. Thanks for listening.